Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The wonderful football and playoff baseball Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. 20 minutes from now, it moved. Femi and I will roll through all the latest injury news in the NFL, all the side moves, all the total moves this weekend coming up in the professional game. We're a little over an hour away from the beginning of the end for the 2025 New York Yankees. Whatever the government reopens, Republicans and Democrats alike should bemoan the fact that they have missed out on a golden economic opportunity for this country. A stimulus package to end all stimulus packages. The Red Sox tonight to beat my loser, pathetic New York Yankees. At plus 150. Plus money on the against the Yankees with Carlos Rodon. What a joke. But before we get to all of that, right now, we're joined by Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, the great Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, welcome back to the show. Happy week five, my friend, to you and yours.
Well, thanks, Nick and Femi. Thanks for having me, as usual. I mean, let's just face it. You know that Judge and Stanton are both going deep tonight. You know. You're like, it's going to happen.
Baldy.
It's going to happen,
Baldy.
Nick.
Baldy. Stop.
I've got Bitcoin. I got Bitcoin I can throw at it right now. If you want to throw your Bitcoin out there, Nick, I'll throw my Bitcoin out there.
Great. You throw your Bitcoin. Do you want more or less Bitcoin?
I always want more, Nick. I'm greedy.
I would suggest not betting on Aaron. It's October, Baldy. Yesterday was September. Now it's October.
Then all right.
Yeah, let's. Anything except for this, please. Let's talk about Week 5 in the NFL, my friend. So yeah. I think with the news this morning that came out that Dylan Gabriel will be starting for the Browns in place of Joe Flacco, I think a lot of people would say, "Well, that's the place we want to. That's where we want to go to talk about that game." I actually think, Baldy, it's way more interesting. How in the world are the Vikings going to protect Carson Wentz against Myles Garrett in this Browns defensive front? The betting market didn't move at all on this news that Gabriel will replace Joe Flacco. Do you see it that way, that this is more of like, how in the world is Minnesota going to score? How do you handicap that game, the Browns and the Vikings, with two defenses against two suspect offenses?
Well, look, I mean, Cleveland's got a very good defense, to a great defense. And their strength is they're good against the run. But, I mean, Miles is the only guy that really scares you in the passing game. And so they've got their Pro Bowl left tackle out there right now. I know they weren't great against the Steelers in Dublin, but I think Kevin O'Connell knows what Myles Garrett is all about. Like, I mean, if there's one thing I think Kevin O'Connell can do, he can game plan. So I don't see I don't see Flash Garrett, Superman. I just don't see him just wrecking this Viking offense, because I think there's too many places they can go with the football for one guy to do that. Now, they might struggle to run the football, which most teams have done against Cleveland. But I think as far as throwing it, I think there's going to be opportunities.
Sounds like you like the Vikings a little bit in the game. Baldy, 3.5-point favorites in London.
Well, you know, look, they made the move to Dillon, and that's fine. Like, eventually you got to go there anyways. But, I mean, I'm here because Joe Flacco lives 10 minutes from my house in New Jersey, and we're Jersey boys. But, like, if the Cleveland Browns could freaking catch or kick, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in right now. I mean, some of his bad throws are because his receivers can't catch the ball. Maybe Dillon Gabriel will throw a different ball. Maybe they'll catch his better than they caught, you know, Joe's. But the offense is limited because their tackle play is terrible.
And all the drops, obviously, and the missed kicks cost them the week one win against the Cincinnati Bengals, and maybe things would be different if that had happened. Just like, I don't want to do three questions on this game, but I feel like I have to ask you this. Maybe just like 30 seconds, because it's not like actual a football question. What did you make of Shedeur Sanders' media availability today? Like miming his answers, like moving his mouth and his lips, but not saying any words that he's going to remain the third quarterback.
I don't know what to make out of it, because it's kind of a carnival, honestly. Like, I mean, he's not going to, like, Joe's going in. He's a backup, so he's the third quarterback. I mean, third quarterback's probably what he's probably saying is, we don't need to be speaking. We're the third quarterback. Like, we don't really have anything to do with this game plan, this trip, or anything else like that. So it's just his way of just sort of miming this thing out right now, where he's at.
I think that was like the nicest possible answer you could have given. Honestly, he should hire you to do PR for him. That was really nice, the way that you phrased it. I appreciated it.
I did that on my feet here, Nick. I didn't really give it much thought. I gotta tell you,
it was really like Dion should send you a fruit basket. That was excellent. So I bet the Raiders on Sunday against the Bears. In a related story, I would like for Geno Smith to have my Venmo account. Raiders, a touchdown dog this Sunday in Indianapolis. And Baldy, just from the betting perspective, a lot of bettors look at, like myself, look at the Femi agrees, look at that point spread and say, way too big, we want to back the Raiders. Is there any reason why we should have confidence in Geno Smith without Colton Miller to keep this game close on the road on Sunday at the Colts?
Well, I mean, I guess if Ashton Gentry runs like he did last week, you know, they've got a chance. If Max Crosby intercepts another pass, you know, and sets the offense up, maybe they have another chance. They don't look particularly well coached at this point. And so the offense line it's already been struggling at right tackle. And now I would imagine the way the league is going right now, when you lose your best offensive lineman, there's going to be even more leakage right here. And I don't know what that does to Geno, but obviously, you know, the performance last week was, you know, was far from good enough. And they gave, you know, Kevin Byard, I don't know if Kevin Byard has an interception the last 3 years. I mean, I love Kevin. Going back to Middle Tennessee State, he's a Blue Raider, Nick. Like, I love Kevin. But I didn't know that he could still intercept passes unless they're thrown right to him. You know, and so, I don't know. Like, the Colts should have won last week easily. They should have won. You know what happened going in to score the touchdown. It's just embarrassing. That situation. But the Colts, they're a good team. And, you know, and I talked to Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator. He goes, Baldy, we're just starting to figure this thing out. We still are stuck in some of the things they used to do here, and we're trying to change run fits and certain things. But I think this team is pretty good. So, I don't know. I think 7's probably about right, Nick.
Shane Steichen did say today, with Alec Pierce returning to practice with this concussion, that he's not sure if A.D. Mitchell will play on Sunday. shouldn't have played last Sunday. Maybe the Colts would have won the game in Los Angeles. Yeah. You bet. On this Wednesday, Brian Baldinger with us on the show, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So, Baldy, like literally a couple moments ago in real time, A.J. Brown addressing the news media in Philadelphia apologizes for like his like Bible quote post game thing. He's going to like withdraw because basically he's not getting thrown the ball, which I think all of this is a lot of noise. But it takes us to the game on Sunday, where the Denver Broncos have been the popular betting side in this game on the road at the Eagles. We're down to Philly as a 3.5-point home favorite against Denver. For context, Philly was 3.5 against the Rams a couple weeks ago. So I think bettors are downgrading the Eagles despite the 4-0 record. Do you see this being a really close game on Sunday? Can the Eagles defense shut down Bo Nix and company? What do you think we see, Eagles and Broncos?
Well, it was a masterclass, you know, Monday night watching Sean Payton. Just, I mean, it was chess and checkers with what Cincinnati was doing, what Sean Payton was doing. Just the way they scored touchdowns, the anticipation of coverage. Denver's a good team. I mean, you know, maybe they throw Surtain on A.J. Brown sometimes, but they do so many different things in the back end of their defense. It's hard to say exactly what they're going to do. But they're led by their defensive front. I mean, they led the league in sacks a year ago. They might do it again this year. I mean, Benito is a good player. I don't know if he can beat Jordan Mulata or Lane Johnson. Jonathan Cooper's a good player. They're five good defensive linemen on that team. They all play it the right way. The Eagles, they open their offense up when they have to, like in the second half against the Rams. But like I watched A.J. last week. They threw the last four passes of the game to him. They didn't complete any of them. Now, some of it, Benjamin Morrison covered him. Some of it, you know, it wasn't a great throw by Jalen. He's frustrated. I get it. But this is A.J. is the anti-diva. I just want to say this. He is the anti-diva. You know what he is, Nick? He's Myles Garrett, and he wants to drill his defensive back into the dirt. That's how he thinks. And if he doesn't get the chance to do it, like he did in the second half against the Rams, Emmanuel Forbes, Darius Williams, pick a guy, like when he just dominated the game, when he doesn't get that chance, it's like Myles Garrett not being on the field on 3rd and 10. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's how he thinks. It's not a selfish thing. And so I try to tell people this. They don't really understand it. But, like, they can win. They can be 4-0. But he doesn't feel like he's having his fun. And that's his issue right now.
I mean, that's a great answer. He's a dominator. He wants to dominate the guy that's across from him every single Sunday. Baldy, the Baltimore Ravens obviously have been hit by a bunch of injuries over the last few weeks. Of course, the big one, Lamar Jackson, dealing with a hamstring, not at practice today. Seems unlikely for Sunday against the Houston Texans, but it's Nnamdi Madubuike, Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, Roquan Smith, Kyle Bennett. We can go on and on and on. How do they keep this thing together with all of these injuries and now sitting in a 1-3 hole?
Well, I mean, you know, in a short answer, I mean, John Harbaugh is a good coach. And so, you know, your special teams have to pick it up. They haven't been taking the ball away. It'd be good if they started doing that. I thought it was an odd signing this offseason with Cooper Rush. I mean, he's been a backup quarterback. They need a backup quarterback. He doesn't really fit the running style. So I thought it was an odd choice just because he really doesn't do any of that. But they're built around Derrick Henry. Like, and he has not had big runways to run, and I know Stanley's out, but like they got to be better up front in the run game. They were awful last week against Spags' defense and their blitz schemes. And Lamar didn't really have many answers, and, you know, then he came out of the game. But, you know, in a short answer, there's other ways to win football games. In addition to all the injuries that you had, the kicking game could be a big part of it. We've seen the Eagles just basically win 2 weeks in a row because of it. So, you know, and he's a special teams demon. So there's other ways to win games right now, and you're going to have to lean on that until Lamar gets healthy.
If the Ravens lose the next two games, they're a dog this weekend against the Texans at home. They will obviously be a dog next week at home against the Rams if Lamar doesn't play. They're 1-5 going into the bye week. Do you think they're still going to make the playoffs? It's an easier schedule coming out of the bye. It's been brutal to start. Will the Baltimore Ravens make the playoffs if they lose the next two games and then they get a lot of players back after the bye?
I don't think the coaches think that they can do it, honestly, at 1-5. I was on a 1-5 team, and we won 8 of our last 10 to get to 9-7, and we were on the cusp of getting to the playoffs. That's an awfully deep crypt, Nick, to dig yourself out of it, 1-5 in this business. Because I think Pittsburgh, you know, can still, you know, can win a lot of games. Regardless of how Aaron plays, they're going to win a lot of games. And so, you know, you look at around the AFC right now, the AFC West, I mean, they might eat those spots up, you know, if you don't win the division. So I'd say it's a long shot if they get to 1-5.
What year was that? What team?
I was with the Colts in 1988. We started 1-5, and then we went on a tear, and we were a good team at the end of the season. We beat Buffalo on a 1 o'clock window to get to 9-7, and we were in the playoffs, and then Cleveland and Houston played in the 4 o'clock window, and the wrong team won the game, and we were out of the playoffs. So that's how that worked out that year.
That is, I mean, just I'm actually going to look this up during the break.
Go look that up. Yeah.
I promise you, I will. I love this stuff. Okay. I love this stuff. Final
Don't
one.
Don't look at that video of me against Bruce Smith when I was playing center at the end of that game. That's not like my best shining moment right there.
But I think it probably didn't go great for a lot of players against Bruce Smith. Final one. We have about, and this is a nice time because we'll talk about the Bills here. About a minute to go. Drake, I think Drake May's played great thus far this season. Can he be good enough to go score for score with Josh Allen on Sunday night, Patriots and the Bills? Like 60 seconds for the answer.
Well, I don't know if Matt Milano and, you know, some of those guys are going to play in Buffalo's defense. Doesn't seem to make much difference right now. But one thing I know New England could do, they can run the football. They ran it really well last week. Obviously, it was a blowout win. But I think they could take the pressure off of Drake. And I think they can slow the game down. I think that's what Vrabel will do. But I know they can keep this close. They've got enough playmakers on both sides of the ball to keep it close right now. And I think Vrabel knows how to come up with a game plan to, you know, whether it's a spy or however they want to limit Josh, you know, just to try to keep him in check where he doesn't just make one big splash play like he did in the fourth quarter last week against New Orleans. Like, I think they could come up with a game plan to keep it close and into the fourth quarter.
December 18th, 1988, Browns 28, Oilers 23. Browns were down 23-7, two Ernest Byner touchdowns and a Webster Slaughter 22-yard reception to win the game 28-23. Sorry.
That's what I'm talking about, Nick. It's still stuck in my brain. You know, well, like I missed out on a paycheck, a playoff paycheck back then.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Ernest Byner fumbled against the Broncos in the previous year AFC Championship game and they lost. I mean, he did. It's a pretty famous play. It's
it doesn't make me feel better, Nick.
I'm sorry. At Baldy NFL on Twitter. You're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Yep, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. It moved. Coming up next, week 5 in the NFL.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
If you missed yesterday's announcement on the show that I will be rewarding the best crew member every week on You Better You Bet, they will win $20 of Nick Costos' money on Fridays, which they have to put towards a bet at BetMGM and share that bet with us. We don't have to share it with you. You just take our word for it that it happened. But just so I know that my $20 is being put towards a bet for them at BetMGM, and we can talk about it on the air. So Bill Zimmerman is currently in pole position to be the top-ranked crew member of the week. He booked Mad Dog Russo on the show yesterday to become the viceroy of the crew this week. Jake was the number one crew member last week. I asked Jake if we could have a Kyle Shanahan soundbite coming back from break. We had nothing. If I had to guess, I don't think Jake will be receiving the $20 this week. Although, still a lot of ball game left for this to get figured out. But
it's just halftime.
But Bill is currently in pole position. So Tyler and Jake and Mike, Addy's not here today. There's still time. You got a couple days to figure this out to win Nick Costos' money. But for now, Femi, let's get to all the side and total moves, all the latest injury news. Femi has been combing the wire because he's really good at this because he does a great job. So you don't have to, our listeners and viewers. Let's get to it with the Week 5 NFL edition of It Moved.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved. 2025 National Football League season. Femi, we begin our line movement sojourn in Los Angeles. NFC West showdown. Rams and the Niners, and a lot going on here from an injury and a line movement perspective. My friend, please break it down for us.
Yeah, let's get to the injury news before we get to all the line movement, because there is a lot. Obviously, the news came out earlier this afternoon while we were on the air. Kyle Shanahan announcing that Brock Purdy will not play in tomorrow's game. So no Brock Purdy. He's dealing with that toe injury. Played last Sunday. Didn't look
he
like himself.
He should have played last week.
Nah, it's.
My thought is, because Mac Jones wasn't the backup, right? Adrian Martinez was the backup.
Yeah.
That they're probably like, hurt. let's see if we can steal this with like 60% Brock Purdy, because we have no chance with Adrian Martinez. It's my thought on the game.
Yeah, and he did not look right. Yeah, because like Mac Jones, like he's good for this week because Mac Jones will be starting tomorrow night. But yeah, last Sunday was really, really bad for Brock Purdy. So they're going to give him like this little bit of a mini bye to get right for week six. So no Purdy on tomorrow night's game between the Rams and the Niners. No Juwan Jennings. He's got an ankle and a rib injury. No Ricky Pearsall. He's got a knee injury with a PCL sprain. So this is really, really bad for San Francisco. Now for the Rams, they have some injuries as well. Not as bad as it is for the Niners. Tyler Higbee is listed as doubtful with a hip injury. And then we're still waiting on Rob Havenstein. Like, is it, if he's going to be playing in the game or not. Didn't practice Monday or Tuesday, but we'll find out. I'm assuming that news is going to come out pretty shortly here with his injury status for tomorrow's game. But a lot of injury news, which has been shaking up the market all throughout the week. This opened Niners as a 3.5-point dog. They're now a 7.5-point dog at some sports books. BetMGM has a 7, but there are 7.5s in the market.
Total so people was 47. Like the Rams, should they lay the Rams right now, Femi, at BetMGM? If you like the Rams,
don't make
you
it
have
legendary.
Not had a piece of this game yet?
Go make it legendary if you like the Rams, because those like that 7.5 is now the consensus number. And all the sevens that are out there are now like minus 120, minus 125. If you have a chance to lay minus 115, which is the current number at BetMGM, go make it legendary and lay it with the Rams. But we're seeing Rams money come in with all the injuries on the Niners, and then also under money coming in. This was once 47, now down to 45.5. Like my opinion on the game, I think we're probably just going to get to a place where we're right. 7.5 feels right to me. 7, I mean, yeah, you could talk yourself into laying it if you really, really like the Rams, but I think I'm going to find other ways to try to play onto this game here, but I think the market's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
So when I think about this game, and this is like one of the noisiest games of the week from an injury and line movement perspective, so we'll spend less time on other games. So even as you're talking, I'm thinking, because I haven't bet the game yet, and I'll be candid, on Sunday night, like, I wanted to bet the Niners if everyone's going to be healthy. I feel like the right spread of the game was kind of like in between 3 and 3.5, so I was getting 3.5. I kind of wanted to take San Francisco. Now, if we're going to be at 7.5 at BetMGM come tomorrow, my initial take was, do I want to take 7.5 with Mac Jones and trust that Kyle Shanahan, even on a short week, can put together a good enough offensive game plan with like Kendrick Bourne and Jake Tonjes and DeMarcus Robinson to at least keep the game close? And I think a better way to play this game might be, you know, yesterday I unveiled my take, and Drew Dinsick, I think we were on air and he agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the first teaser week.
Ooh. Now you're speaking my language.
How do you feel about... How do you feel about everybody Wong teased tonight with the LA Rams?
I like that a lot.
Everybody Wong teased tonight. Wanna Wong tease the Rams and Bills tonight. Oh, man. How do Rams-Bills, how does that lose? I think it wins. So we'll talk more about that coming up tomorrow. But Femi just gave you an awesome injury breakdown with the Rams and the Niners. At a bunch of sports books, the Rams are full 7.5-point home favorites tomorrow night. And MGM making it legendary, still with the Rams -7 for those so inclined. Femi, let's go to Sunday. Let's go across the pond to London with the Vikings and the Browns. Dylan Gabriel will start for Cleveland. What else is happening in this game, injury-wise, side in total?
Yeah, the injury stuff is really big, but it's funny. Gabriel gets announced, and the point spread just stays the same. This was 3.5 yesterday. It's 3.5 today with Gabriel now expected to be the starting quarterback, will be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. But one of the big reasons for that is the injury news on Minnesota's side. Of course, J.J. McCarthy, he's actually back at practice, but he's not going to play this weekend. It'll be Carson Wentz again. But their center, Ryan Kelly, still in the concussion protocol. Their offensive tackle, Brian O'Neill, has already been ruled out, expected to miss multiple weeks with a knee injury. Donovan Jackson, their first round pick, their rookie at guard, has already been ruled out. Andrew Van Ginkle, their edge rusher, has already been ruled out in this game. Like, there's so many injuries on the Minnesota side, and Cleveland has their own injuries as well. Their wide receiver, Cedric Tillman, he was placed on IR, and then Jack Conklin, their offensive tackle, dealing with an elbow injury. Sounds like he's going to be limited in practice this week. We'll see that one, like, more clarity on that probably on Friday, maybe even on Saturday as we get closer to kickoff, but like, a lot of injuries on the Minnesota side, which is why the total has been ticking down. We're all the way down to 36 after even touching 35 and a half at one point. This was 37, 38 earlier in the week. Now it's down to 36, but the side remains impact at 3.5. But a lot of injuries on the Viking side. I like Cleveland. I took the 3.5. I think the Browns, anything more than a field goal is live. I think the Browns just win the game, honestly. I think Gabriel gets it done for this team and just protects the football unless the defense do their thing.
I did bet the Browns 4.5 on Sunday night. We talked about it on Monday. Just worth noting, and it's going to give me a little bit of pause and food for thought from Brian Baldinger. He likes Minnesota in the game. And I thought made a pretty compelling case for the Vikings and that Kevin O'Connell will game plan to stop Myles Garrett and not let Myles Garrett wreck the game. So I'm going to think a little bit about it. But look, like my hay's in the barn. I have to like buy out and bet on the Vikings. As of now, Femi, I'm with you here, and I do like the Browns to cover against Minnesota. But, you know, I did feel better about that bet with Joe Flacco, if I'm being totally sincere. But I am going to stick with my bet on the Cleveland Browns. Okay, to the 1 o'clock slate on the East Coast, the Indianapolis Colts hosting Geno Smith, Femi, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, not as much injury news with this game, but there's injury news nonetheless. Colton Miller, the left tackle of the Raiders, placed on IR with that ankle injury. So that Raiders offensive line that's already subpar to begin with, now without their best offensive lineman. For Indianapolis, Alec Pierce was back at practice, still in the concussion protocol technically, but a good sign that he's on the practice field here on a Wednesday. Haven't seen news on Kenny Moore yet. Like, Nick, please fill in the blanks there if you've seen some news there, but Kenny Moore dealing with a calf injury, didn't play in their loss against the LA Rams this past Sunday. But in terms of the side movement, this was 5.5 about a week ago on the look-aheads.
I have an update for you. Per Shane Steichen a couple hours ago, he's progressing but won't practice today. When we had Drew Dinsick on the show yesterday, Drew made it seem like Kenny Moore is going to be out, and maybe he knows something that we don't. No practice today for Kenny Moore, the Indianapolis Colts star slot cornerback.
Yeah, and like, think about what we know about calf injuries over like the last like 6-7 months in the world of sports. You don't want to like push those too much, and all of a sudden the disaster scenario ends up playing out. But Sunday after the games, this opened at 6.5, and then you immediately saw money coming in on the Colts and go all the way to 7. And now we've been hanging out in 7. There's a couple plays that are at 6.5, but 7 is your consensus number with this game. The total, that has actually ticked to the under. I'm assuming it's with the Raiders offensive line issues with Colton Miller out in this game. He's now on IR, but this was 49.5, now down to 48. I'm going to like the Raiders quite a bit at these numbers. Like 7, I think is a little bit too rich. I understand if you want to go to 6, that's fine, but 7, I feel like that's a little bit too much. So I like the Raiders.
I just want to just throw this in there, just on the Padres-Cubs game. The Padres are up 3-0 going into the 8th. And these Mason Miller highlights that are circulating social media right now, I mean...
Is he going 107?
Dude, with movement that like you've never seen before from like a major league pitcher, it's crazy. Jeez. He had 104 on the gun. He's electric.
That's nuts.
It looks like we're headed towards game 3 in that wild card series with the Cubs and the Pods. Padres up 3-0 in the top of the 8th. All right, Femi, Giants and the Saints in New Orleans. Malik Nabers obviously done for the season for Big Blue.
Yeah, and Jackson Dart has a hamstring issue, but he says he's good to go. That's going to be fine. No worries there for Jackson Dart. I would say, Jackson Dart, please protect yourself when you're running around out there. Like, that dude plays like a bat out of hell. It's like, man, you got to make it through this season, man. It's not just a week-to-week league here for you. But we have seen the New Orleans Saints flip back to being the favorite here in this game, because earlier in the week you saw Giants sitting there as like a 1.5, 2-point favorite, and then New Orleans money came in, flipped New Orleans to a favorite now, so the Saints are about 2-point favorites. There are a couple 2.5s out there as well. The total, that's actually gone a little bit to the over. This was 40.5 earlier this week. Now we're out to 42. 41 is kind of a key-ish number when you talk about totals, but money coming in on the over, and money coming in on the New Orleans Saints as bettors look to fade the Giants off of the win this past Sunday with Nabers out, Javon Holland's dealing with a neck injury, but the Saints, they have their usual injuries. Chase Young has the calf, and then Cesar Ruiz, considered week to week, one of their interior offensive linemen. But Saints have been seeing the bulk of the money over the last couple of days as they're now a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, and I said on Monday, like, the Saints need to be favored in this game. The Giants were 1.5. Now, like, I think we're just correct here with the Saints a 2-point favorite. I don't know if there's much to do right now. We'll obviously talk more about the game tomorrow on Thursday and, of course, on Friday, but we can move on for now from the Giants and the Saints. What about, Femi, your Dallas Cowboys off the tie on Sunday night visiting the 0-4 New York Jets?
Yeah, the Cowboys had the same injuries that they had going into the Packers game. Don't need to detail those too much. CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Guyton. Well, Guyton, at least, that popped up in the game. He's in the concussion protocol, so make sure to look out that the Cowboys left tackle on their offensive line. But Tyler Booker, of course, has been ruled out with an ankle injury. For the New York Jets, you have Jermaine Johnson. He's got an ankle injury. Braylon Allen obviously has the knee injury. Sounds like that one might be a little bit more serious. Don't expect him on the field on Sunday. Then Michael Carter II is in the concussion protocol. But we've been holding steady with the Cowboys as a 2.5-point favorite. We've not yet gone to 3. I think once it gets to 3, if it ever did, you'd see a lot of Jets money. I would bet the Jets at 3. So I think we might hold steady here at 2.5. The total, interestingly enough, has been kind of holding steady at 47.5. Like early 46.5, that immediately got bet. And over the last couple days, we're just hanging out. 47.5. So not a whole lot of line movement with this game. Nick, I know you like the over. I've sworn off totals. I'm not going down that road anymore now that we're 4 weeks into the season. But I think right now I'm just hanging out and waiting to see if we ever get Jets plus 3. Because if so, I will bet gangrene on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll take 2.5 with the Jets if it comes down to it. I do think, and I said this yesterday, that the Monday night loss kind of masked the fact that the Jets offense was actually pretty good in that game. And I thought Justin Fields played pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm going to like the Jets most likely in this game coming up on Sunday. I would like a 3 as well. Femi, we just got a couple injury reports as it concerns the Philadelphia Eagles. Nothing earth-shattering, but just in case you didn't see it, while you've been giving us the rest of the information here, I'll read it. Lane Johnson, Jalen Carter, Nakobe Dean, all limited in practice. Nakobe Dean obviously just starting to get healthy this season. So that's the Eagles update. What do we have here with the Eagles and the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, and also just now from Mike Garofalo over at NFL Network, Dallas Goedert did not practice today with a knee injury for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Dallas Goedert did not practice, but those two other guys out there on the practice field. But this has been one of the more interesting betting markets. It opened Eagles 5, 5.5. Now we're down to Eagles 3.5 as the betting market likes Denver quite a bit in this game. Or maybe the better way to phrase it, the betting market doesn't like Philadelphia after the way that they've been playing some of these games. Not super convincing in the box score, but wins nonetheless. Money coming in on the under, 44 down to 43.5. I'm going to like Philly quite a bit. I'd lay 3.5. I'm just waiting to see if we ever get 3, because then I'll really, really love the Eagles. But I'm going to be on the Eagles at some point this week.
Yeah, I said it yesterday on the show, and I had it slated to do in the first hour, but went long talking about the Yankees, that I think the Eagles have a little bit of last year's Chiefs in them, where I don't know if they're going to be able to cover numbers like this, and of course, like, they could. I don't see how they're losing.
I don't see it.
The Eagles will be an important money line parlay piece for me this week. I might just lay the money line as is. We'll see. But I think Philly will win the game as well. More It Moved coming up on the other side. We will begin with the Dolphins and the Panthers in Carolina.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
20 minutes from now, Femi and I will give you our bets for Red Sox-Yankees. I hope Femi's betting the Red Sox if he likes money.
Did it last night.
Yankees, it was a great bet. Yankees ain't winning tonight. So our baseball bets coming up next segment. Danny Parkins joins us next hour. We will finalize the show with all our bets for tonight in the world of sports. Swing big on your next bet with an MLB postseason odds boost token. Use your token to net a bigger payout on a winning bet. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. And as always, don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. You can catch everything from today's show, including Femi's Hour, where he talked about the bet he's making for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. To search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. And, of course, join the conversation. Like, comment, and subscribe. YouTube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. We have YouTube and Twitch exclusive content on the way, so make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed on Twitch. Now, Femi, just refresh my memory. Did we do a podcast and YouTube read and a BetMGM read in the first hour of the show today or no?
I don't believe we did.
Whose responsibility is it to give me those reads?
Ooh, I believe that's Tyler Morales, isn't it?
Do you think Tyler should be eligible to win for member of the week this week, to be number one on the power rankings and win Nick Costos' money or no?
We've seen a lot of great comebacks in sports. I'll say he still needs to be eligible, but boy, he's got a tough hill to climb. This might not be 28-3, but like we're getting close because it's getting late early for our guy Tyler.
Not great for Tyler Morales.
No.
We continue on with it moved. Dolphins and the Panthers in Carolina. Obviously, no Tyreek Hill for the rest of the season for the Dolphins. What else is happening here with this game?
Yeah, we got some like small injury news with this game. Xavier Leggett for the Carolina Panthers dealing with a hamstring injury. Jatavion Sanders, their tight end, has an ankle injury, missed last week's game. The big news, though, is on the offensive line for them, which it's more so just like adding fuel to the fire on this one as opposed to like this player being awesome. But Chandler Zavala for the Carolina Panthers, their interior offensive lineman, placed on IR. They've already put Austin Corbett and Robert Hunt on IR. So like think about that Panthers offensive line, the interior for a small quarterback like Bryce Young. Yeah, that's really, really bad. And we've already seen that the last couple of games. So in terms of the betting market, though, with this game, this opened around Pick'em. Then you saw Carolina get bet out to a 1.5-point favorite. And then the Dolphins are now the favorite. So we keep bouncing back and forth. Miami is your favorite right now on the road. The total has been bet to the under 45.5 down to 44.5. My guess is that we might even hit that key number of 44. I have no strong opinion with this game. I'll likely pass the game. I think it should be around a Pick'em. It is around a Pick'em. Bless the hearts of those who have a strong opinion and really like one of these sides. I want no part of these two teams.
I tend to agree with everything you just said. I think a bunch of people like the Panthers in this game.
Yes.
I have better things to do with my money than bet on Bryce Young. Like, keep for pounding. Example, I bought like Love Every is this. They do like toys for babies. I bought a bunch of like shower toys for my daughter. Or not shower, bath toys for my daughter.
Bath toys, yeah. So you can play in the bath.
Yeah. That was a good use of my money. Like betting on Bryce Young, probably not the best use of my money. All right. I'm glad we're doing this early in the segment because there's a lot to get to. Femi, the Wednesday practice report is out for the MASH unit, known as the Baltimore Ravens. What's happening with the Ravens and the Texans, side and total, etc.?
Yeah, this is a big one here. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, the biggest story with this game, did not practice today. The expectation that he's not going to play come Sunday, because we'll get into the betting market. Of course, this would not be the market if people thought Lamar had a chance to play. But Lamar dealing with a hamstring injury left the game against Kansas City on Sunday. Ronnie Stanley did not practice, has an ankle. Of course, Nnamdi Madubuike out for the season. That's already been outlined. Travis Jones, their other defensive lineman, limited with a knee. That's some of the good news. Same with Kyle Van Noy. He's limited with a hamstring injury. But here's some more of the bad news. Roquan Smith, expected to miss multiple weeks. Marlon Humphrey, expected to miss multiple weeks. Nate Wiggins, DNP today at practice. And also Chidobe Awuzie, as well dealing with injuries, DNP with a hamstring injury. That's their three starting corners that are all DNP. And injuries on the D line, Lamar's injury, and that's why you have right now where the betting market sits, the Houston Texans a 1-point favorite in Baltimore. This was going to be Ravens 9.5 before all these injuries. But you get that big swing, we get the quarterback and all these other injuries attached to that as well. Now, we got all the way out to Houston laying 2.5. Have seen money come in on Baltimore since then. The 2.5s were yesterday. Now we're down to 1 here today. The total, of course, has been bet aggressively to the under. This was supposed to be in that like 46 range, reopened 43, now all the way down to 40.5. So money on the under, money coming in on the underdog, who once was the underdog in Houston, all the way out to 2.5, but now we've bounced back to 1. My opinion with the game, I think whenever Lamar is officially ruled out, we're going to see more of a push towards Houston. So maybe we get back to that 2.5, and that is when I'll be betting the Baltimore Ravens in a fallen hero spot. But once again, it's a lot of heroes who will be out on Sunday for Baltimore.
My thought is no bet placed yet. I think the Texans might smoke them. I don't like the setup for Baltimore. This would be like, I think this is setting up for me as Houston or pass. You bet on this Wednesday. It moved week 5 in the NFL. Femi, Cardinals are hosting Cam Ward and the winless Tennessee Titans. I'm going to give a piece of fantasy football advice to everybody right now. So Trey Benson was placed on IR today by the Cardinals. They have Michael Carter, Amari DiMercato, and Zonovan Bam Knight. Based on everything I'm reading, and also a quote from Michael Carter at Cardinals practice like moments ago, he says that last week he won, and I want to make sure I have this right. I actually think like there's a Pat Tillman award that has nothing to do with his military service. That's goes like the best practice squad player. I think I have this right. I'm pretty sure I read that tweet correctly. I'm not trying to be insensitive or anything. I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. And now he said he's going to be starting this week for the Arizona Cardinals. He profiles as the early down back, DiMercato as the passing downs back, Knight as the third running back in Arizona. So if you need a running back and Michael Carter is still out there on the waiver wire, I don't mind picking up Michael Carter. I did in a couple deep leagues in fantasy football. Femi, what do we got now with Arizona and Tennessee?
Yeah, and you are correct, by the way. Like, I'm seeing the quote right now. It goes to the practice squad player of the week, the Pat Tillman Award. And he said it's been a lot. You go from the Pat Tillman 1 week to starting the next week. Good luck to Michael Carter out there.
It just sounds weird to say, so I wanted to make sure that I gave it that I gave it like a little more attention.
100%. You're right to do that. So, but yeah, we got that out of the way. And like, I think this game, from a running back standpoint, like for the Cardinals, yeah, it's tough. With Trey Benson, of course, James Conner looks like he's done for the season as well with his ankle injury. For Tennessee, Calvin Ridley, like they said that his snaps were kind of dialed back this past Sunday to some undisclosed injury. I haven't really seen what the injury is for Calvin Ridley, but that's one to kind of look into. JC Latham trending upward is what a lot of the Titans beat reporters are saying. He's been dealing with a hip injury, has missed the last couple of games. So the Titans offensive line has not been fully formed, but it sounds like Latham is trending upward is what they're saying. But with all that reporting that's out there, it's been all Tennessee money throughout the week here. This was 9.5, 9 on the open on Sunday. We're down to as low as 7 at a pretty sharp sportsbook here in Las Vegas. I see 7 minus 115. Now, the rest of the market's still at 7.5, but that just goes to show you how much of an appetite there is to back the Tennessee Titans. The total, that's kind of still been hanging out around that 42, like a little bit of bounce back, some money coming on the over, got all the way up to 42.5, and then the under gets bet, so we're now back down to 42. But the big story has been the side, though, from 9.5 down to as low as 7 with the Titans getting all the money.
I took some Tennessee
your money?
Titans the other day. Yeah, well, a little bit.
3-18 in their last 21 games.
It doesn't feel great. It does not feel great to have money on the Tennessee Titans. I think we may have lost Femi. We'll get Femi back. So Femi is back with us now.
Back now. Brian Callahan took out my internet. So yeah, slandering his ATS record.
It's not a banner day for the Abebefe internet. We'll move on. Seahawks and the Bucks, a game that I feel like you called correctly early in the week, at least in terms of the line move. We'll see what happens on Sunday. What do we have here? Sam Darnold against Baker Mayfield in the battle of former Carolina Panthers backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, we got some injury news on the Tampa side. Mike Evans has already been ruled out with a hamstring injury. He's not going to be playing. Bucky Irving has this ankle and foot injury, which it feels like it's back and forth on the severity of this injury, but it seems unlikely that he'll be playing on Sunday. You have Hassan Reddick, that is in the concussion protocol, has a neck injury. Jamel Dean, their starting corner, has a hip and a groin injury. And then DeMarcus Lawrence for the Seahawks, he's dealing with a thigh injury. But it's all been Seattle money. This opened 2.5. I bet Seahawks 2.5 Sunday night. We're now out to 3.5, so crossing through that key number of 3. And in terms of the total, It's all been to the under. This was 46. Now we're down to 44.5. Perhaps we're going to touch that key number of 44. But it's been Seattle money and money on the under. I agree with the Seattle part of the equation. I like the Seahawks. I think we're probably where we need to be with this game. Like, felt like in my mind, like 3 minus 120 was probably the right number here. So maybe you could talk yourself into Tampa. But anything under a field goal was always a bet on Seattle. And that's the bet that I placed on Sunday.
Yeah, I have to decide if I want to bet the Bucs or not. And I'm not sure I do with all of Tampa's injuries. And I love Sam Darnold and the way he's playing. I think for right now, this game, a pass for me, at least at the moment. Femi, what about the Lions and the Bengals in Cincinnati?
Yeah, this game right now, the big news is on the Detroit side of the ball with their secondary. Now, DJ Reed, their starting corner, he's been placed on IR with a hamstring injury. Their other corner, sounds like he'll be okay. Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, he's dealing with a shoulder injury there. So, like, that's big then, because you don't want to be down CB1 and CB2 when you're taking on Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, make the fun of Jake Browning all you will. Still, like, those wide receivers against those corners, that could get problematic. But with all that aside, this is now out to 10.5. At some sports books, including BetMGM. This was 8.5-8 prior to Monday Night Football. We all saw Cincinnati get embarrassed by Denver, and it's been all Detroit money ever since then. In terms of the total, a little bit of a push and pull. Like, it was 49 out to 50, now back down to 49.5. So the total kind of bounces back and forth there. But the big story has been the side where Detroit 8.5, now crossing through 10, as I think a lot of people looking for Cincinnati to get embarrassed once again by a contending team.
And I think you have interest in Cincinnati, right?
I do. At 10.5, I mean, it gets a lot of points on the road. I know the Bengals are horrendous, but like, still, they have Chase and they have Higgins, and the Lions secondary is a little bit banged up. I'm banking on that. Just stay somewhat competitive. I do like the Bengals at this point.
Which bet is more gross, Cincinnati or Tennessee?
Oh, it's Tennessee. I don't even think it's close.
I'm not so sure.
They've covered 3 times in 21 games.
It's not like they're both disgusting. Like, they're both we are at the bottom of the dumpster diving with those.
Yep.
All right. Power Hour final hour coming up on the other side. We'll finish off it moved. A couple more games to hit for Week 5 NFL Sunday. We'll give you our bets for the Yankees and Red Sox, and we will talk some of the biggest college football games of the weekend, including Florida and Texas, here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.